we're wanting you to think through, just like you would with a patient in real life, all of the different areas of question that you might ask.
We really want to know how you're thinking. We want to know how you're processing that presenting vignette and trying to sort of understand how you, in a reasoning fashion, will put together the components of the history and physical examination.
Welcome to the ABPMR Part 2 Examination Podcast. If you're preparing to take the exam this year, listen in as ABPMR board directors, Part 2 examiners, and other Part 2 experts talk all things Part 2, including the structure of the exam, scoring, study tips, what to expect on exam day, and more. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of the Part 2 podcast. My name is Lizzie. I am the communications coordinator for the ABPMR and your host for this podcast series. Today, we'll be discussing Domain A to give you an overview of the domain and strategies for approaching this part of the exam so you can have all the important information you need about this domain. So today, we are joined by two guests, Sherry Driscoll and Daniel Clinchot. Both Drs. Driscoll and Dr. Clinchot serve as board directors, and they have some great insight on Domain A for you today. So I'm really excited that they can join us. Dr. Driscoll is a consultant in the Mayo Clinic Department of PMR with joint appointment in the Department of Pediatric Adolescent Medicine. She's also the associate professor in the Mayo Clinic College of Medicine and Science and the division director of pediatric PMR at Mayo. She's also the program director of the Pediatric Rehabilitation Medicine Fellowship at Mayo as well. And Dr. Clinchot is the vice dean for education at Ohio State or OSU College of Medicine. He's a tenured professor in the OSU Department of PMR and as the Harry C. and Mary Elizabeth Powelson Professor of Medicine at OSU. He's also professor and chair of OSU's Department of Biomedical Education and Anatomy. So Dr. Driscoll and Dr. Clinchot, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being on this morning with us.
Thank you.
Morning.
Yeah. So before we get started, can we hear how long you've been on the board and what your role is on the board of directors? Dr. Driscoll, can you start with that one?
Sure. I have been a board director for about 9 years now, but I have done work for the board for much longer than that in terms of item writing and oral examining and other volunteer activities.
Awesome. And then Dr. Clinchot.
I've been on the board for about 3 years now. I chair the communications committee, but similar to Dr. Driscoll, I have been involved with the board for many years. And my predominant involvement is as a former Part 2 examiner and have been really able to witness some of the changes that have occurred in the Part 2 examination. And I think the way that really helps us understand the skill set of our candidates.
Yeah, and I'm excited that you both have extensive background with Part 2, so that will be great insight for Domain A today on the episode. So to get started, Dr. Driscoll, can you give an overview of Domain A and what it will look like on the exam?
Sure. The idea of Part A is that we are looking for the thought process for how a candidate might get information from a patient. We are looking for their thought process in terms of history gathering and physical examination, and what they think might be the highlights or the priorities of their evaluation for that particular patient that's presents.
Yeah, I would agree, because I think, just as Dr. Driscoll says, is with the vignette as it's presented, I think the examiners are really looking for your thought process and how you sort of select what components of the history and what components of the physical exam are key for that data acquisition.
Yeah, and since the exam, it is an oral exam, the examiners are looking to hear the candidate communicate their thought process in Domain A. And it's also referred to as the data acquisition domain. So could you explain, Dr. Driscoll, and if you wanted to add anything, Dr. Clinchot, what does data acquisition mean?
We are looking for the specifics of the questions you might ask or the exam elements that you might apply to a patient. And therefore, we're wanting you to think through, just like you would with a patient in real life, all of the different areas of question that you might ask. It might be about the, you know, elements or the components of pain that a patient presents with. It might be, I need to know more about what happened in the trauma that you, or the illness that you just experienced. Or maybe it's an individual with perhaps a genetic driven diagnosis. And so you need to know more about family history. Or maybe there could be an element of how medications are impacting this particular patient. And so you need to know more about that. Of course, as physiatrists, we're all about function. And so we are typically interested in what the functional impact of whatever the situation might be on the patient. Psychosocial stuff often will have a large impact on what's going on. And so I think the idea of just really taking into account the specifics of the case as presented and trying to pick out your priority areas for what would be the most important things that you need to know about this particular patient should you encounter them. And then the same thing is true for the physical exam. You know, we're not just looking for a rote list of all of the physical exam elements that are possible in the universe. What we are looking for is what would be most particularly applicable for this patient.
Is there anything you wanted to add to that, Dr. Clinshaw, about why data acquisition is included on the exam?
So I think just to reiterate some of the things that Dr. Driscoll sort of alluded to is we really want to know your thought processes. So when you think about the vignette that's presented, we want to know as if it was in your office, in your clinical realm, how you would go about, what information would you think is extremely important in understanding about this particular case. And and I'd like to reemphasize what Dr. Driscoll said, we're not looking for a laundry list because we're thinking, we really want to know how you're thinking. We want to know how you're processing that presenting vignette and trying to sort of understand how you, in a reasoning fashion, will put together the components of the history and physical examination. And some of the ways that sort of examiners may get at that is, for example, if you're asking about a certain aspect of the psychosocial history in the history component, the examiner may ask you, well, why would you want to know about that in this case? Because they're really trying to get to your reasoning behind it. The same thing for a physical examination component. So if a patient presents with knee pain and you want to do a hip exam, you say it would be very important to do a musculoskeletal examination of the hip. The examiner may say, well, tell me why that's important in this case. The examiners will not give you feedback, but they may ask further information as you relay the components of your data acquisition in the history and the physical domains.
That's really one of the things that differentiates part one and part two, right? Because part one is all about factual information, your knowledge base. But part two is much more about your thought process and why you do what you do.
I'm glad you brought up the examiner prompts too, because that just goes back to emphasizing how the examiners are looking for the candidate's thought process. So if they feel like the candidate needs to be more specific about something, they'll ask a prompting question like, could you explain more about that? Or why did you ask for that? And it's really just about getting to the candidate's thought process. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. So the main question that Domain A addresses is, did the candidate identify the appropriate data required to correctly diagnose and manage the patient? So Dr. Driscoll, how should a candidate work through this domain in order to gather the data that they need to diagnose and manage the patient?
I guess I have two thoughts on that. One is just really try to put yourself in the exam room like you're with a real patient and think through all of the elements that you probably are doing every day already. But secondly, it is probably helpful to have some system of organization in your head so that you're not just scattered all over the place and jumping around between things. But having said that, there's no specific order that you need to go through with history or physical exam. And you can jump between them if you're, you know, you've worked through your history and now you're talking about your physical examination. And then you're like, oh, I forgot to ask on my history, whatever. That's fine too. Those two things can go together as a package.
And if you could follow up with that, Dr. Clinshot, how specific do you think candidates should be while they're explaining their thoughts and their processes in this domain?
So many times the prompt will be to tell us why you want to ask specific things. You want to either ask specific things or do a certain physical examination. So in that sense, I think it's extremely important, if you're going to ask an aspect of the history, is to be able to understand why you might do that. For example, if I am concerned about an individual's psychosocial status, and I say, well, I really would want to know what the home situation is, I may ask you a question as an examiner and say, well, why would you want to know that? So you should be able to say, well, the reason in this particular scenario I would ask that is because I'm concerned about this individual's home life and the ability of or the type of care that's being received in that environment. So you need to be able to sort of expand upon why you would want to do something. Sometimes the STEM asks you, please tell us the components of the history and physical examination that you would want to do and why. Sometimes we don't say why, and then you may get cues from the examiner to ask why those particular things are important. What I think sometimes I observe students or residents sort of candidates doing in this domain is really just trying to pack everything in, trying to make sure that they cover all bases, any possible red herrings or everything. And that's really not the purpose. The purpose is for us to understand, given this presentation, sort of what are the things that you would see as important in the history and physical. And I think part of that is because people worry, if I miss this, then I'm not going to be able to do the rest of the examination for this particular vignette. And that's not the case. They each stand alone. Each domain stands alone. So if by some chance you leave a component of the physical examination out that you then later realize you might have done, it doesn't impact the other domains that you need to address because the examiner will give you for each domain the information that you need.
And the scoring on one domain doesn't affect the scoring later. So if, you know, whatever, however you do in the first domain, it does not affect how you do in the second in terms of scoring and on down the line. The other thing that I would add, Lizzie, is that, you know, probably a middle ground in terms of specificity or detail is a good idea. I don't think that you want to be on the one end of just rotely listing all of the typical history and physical exam elements that there are without giving the whys. But on the other hand, I don't think that you'll have time to be so detailed that you can name every potential scenario, like Daniel was saying, that might be related to that particular area. So somewhere in the middle, and if you get some guidance from your examiner asking you more questions, you know, don't be surprised by that. Don't take offense to that. They're just trying to, number one, figure out what you're thinking. And number two, make sure we're staying in the time allotted so that you can get through the whole exam.
Yeah, and it's great that you both mentioned that it doesn't need to be, Dr. Driscoll, you said a laundry list of every single part of the history and physical examination, and that candidates are given all the information that they need in each domain. So the examiners we'll keep track of time. They'll make sure that the candidate has everything they need to complete each domain.
I'd just like to highlight that, one thing that you said about the time. Because sometimes I think candidates worry when the examiner moves them along to the next domain. And the pure purpose of that is not evaluative, but in trying to keep you going through the case in the time allotted. And so even though you may feel that there are more things you would like to say in that domain, the examiner may move you on, and you really shouldn't read into that about your performance. right? That because it is their responsibility as examiners to move you through. So I just wanted to highlight what Dr. Driscoll said in that domain, because I think it does worry some candidates when examiners continue to move candidates through the cases.
Right. That is very important to mention, is that the examiners are in charge of keeping time. They've been trained on how to move candidates through the exam in order to stay within the time frame and reach all the domains. Going into a little bit more about the candidates and the examiners, what should a candidate also remember about their own communication during this domain?
You will receive, before the case scenario starts, you will receive instruction from the examiner. So even though there will be two examiners in the space, there'll be one who's sort of leading two of the cases and then another who will lead two of the cases. And the examiner will specifically set the stage for you and set the ground rules for that session. So you have some instructions prior to that. You're not expected to know all of those coming in. But then once the case started, what the examinee can expect is that examiner will work them through those two cases to keep within time frame so that during that 50-minute session that they're able to get through the cases that they need to be able to get through in that session.
I think that the other thing that they can expect is that if people are nervous, some people are nervous when they take the oral exams, and I think it takes sometimes just a few minutes to settle in. And so if you lose your place a little bit, you forget what the examiner said in terms of the scenario that's presented, you can always ask for a repeat. You know, can you please repeat the case, or how old is that person? Or, you know, can you tell me again what the question is, just so that you can, reset and get going again?
Yeah, I'd like to reiterate that and build on it, because I think that is so important, because what it helps you do is be a little bit less nervous. So if you are nervous and going down a path that you feel, this is not right, I shouldn't be, this is not the direction I wanted to go with the question that was asked, is just say that. Say, hey, I think I'm going to just take a minute here and I'm going to sort of recalibrate. And it's okay to say that. Instead of continuing on and getting more and more nervous that you think you're missing things. And I think that can be done effectively to sort of get you back on track.
Thank you for mentioning that too, because it is fine to take pauses and take breaks and gather your thoughts. And that doesn't have a penalty on candidates if they need to step back and say that they need to collect their thoughts, or if they need something repeated, they can definitely ask their examiner for that. So that's important to bring up. But we mentioned that candidates are provided with all the information they need in each domain. And we've already said they don't need to just lay out a whole long list of the physical examination and history in domain A. So how should they approach domain A and the information that they'll be given there while keeping future domains in mind?
In past years, what we used to do is have an examinee ask the question on history or physical, and the examiner would give a response to, okay, you asked for that physical exam element. I'm going to tell you what would be the findings on your physical exam. But we don't do that anymore. What we're really looking for now is, again, your thought process on how you would move through your history and physical exam in this area. And you won't receive much feedback during that. Well, you'll receive zero feedback during that time about the answers to the questions that you are seeking. You won't get that until the next section or the next domain. And then your examiner will tell you, okay, these are the important parts of the history and physical that you need to know. And now we have this next question for you.
Yeah, and I just like to build on that. And this is just personal, what I've observed. And I'll try to encourage anyone listening to the podcast who are potential candidates is that sometimes, especially after the data acquisition section, right, you go to the next one and then they're giving you new information. And then you say, oh, I should have asked that in the first domain, and you worry about that and focus time on it. And you really don't need to, because remember, there are so many parts to that first domain. Don't worry about the impact that that's going to have. Focus on what's being asked in that domain, because you don't want to waste any of your valuable time for that domain thinking, oh, I missed it in the other domain. Really, because we take them each individually. I can't emphasize that enough, because we don't want you to not show us what you know in that domain by worrying about the fact that you may not have mentioned it in the domain above.
And I guess that would just lead me to one other comment. And that is, if it becomes clear to you that you've missed an element in your history and physical exam, don't worry about it. It doesn't mean that you have failed that section or that you will fail your exam. Like Daniel said, just listen to the section as it's provided to you and move on, because it's a new section. It's a new set of scores, and missing an element or two in any section is not going to sink you.
Yeah. And then we're just building on each other here. So that triggers another question. That thing I'd like to say is that, remember, the analysis of your performance is done over the course of domains for all the cases that you do. You can't fail a case, right? Because your data acquisition is considered over all the cases that you see. The other domains are considered over all the courses, over all the cases that you see. And it's important to remember that, because I think some students struggle with, oh, well, I blew this case. And you can't blow a case because we're looking at those individual domain sections.
Hopefully that will help candidates be a little less stressed if they are in a situation on exam day where they think they might have missed something. It's important to keep in mind that all of the domains are scored separately. Is there anything else that you think is important for candidates to know about domain A that we haven't talked about?
Domain A, because it's the first domain, I think, is the most stressful for candidates. They're trying to get into their swing. Take a deep breath and relax, try to relax and do the best that you can, and it'll flow. The examiners will help it flow for you. So don't build up all that pressure in that first domain, because sometimes I think it just snowballs for some candidates, and just sort of take it as it comes is my best advice to you.
Yeah, I would agree. First case, first domain, often people are the most nervous. And so I think that for a lot of people, if you can just sort of settle down a little bit and think about a real patient with this particular, presentation, what would you do in real life? And just present it that way. And that might help you through it a little bit.
And even if that's not in your regular practice, that's not somebody you may see, right? That's not a vignette that you might sort of come across, or a case scenario. So do the best you can. So with the information given and with my knowledge of physical medicine and rehabilitation, this is how I would approach it, right? Even though that may not be your bread and butter that you see every day.
Yeah, it's important to reiterate that this is all about the candidate's thought process. And so if candidates can remember that the purpose of this domain is to just do their best and explain their thought process the best they can and show what they know as a physician, then they're doing the purpose of the domain. So we have a lot of helpful information on domain A on the ABPMR website. So I think a really helpful resource that all listeners should check out after listening to this episode we have videos of mock domain A demonstrations, so you can see what the actual communication and the process of the domain will look like. So those videos and other resources on domain A are linked on our part two podcast page, which you can find in this episode's notes. Dr. Clinshaw and Dr. Driscoll, thank you so much for coming on and being our guests today. This was really valuable information from both of you, and you gave great details and advice for what candidates can expect in domain A. Is there anything else you'd like to say to 2022 part two candidates?
The last message that I would like to leave is just to wish all the candidates very best of luck. We are literally rooting for you. Your examiners are hoping that you do great. No examiner is trying to trip you up. We are rooting for you. We want you to do well. We want you to succeed. And so we send you a lot of positive vibes.
And I would agree. And I think that the board has created as many resources for you to use to be successful and to help you prepare as best you can for it. But the, really the best preparation is understanding how the exam is administered, but then you actually have the core components in your day-to-day work. And so remember that, right? Remember that what we're trying to understand is actually how you think in your practice of physical medicine.
Thank you both again. This was a fun time for me, and you were both wonderful guests. So I'm happy I got to talk with you today. In next week's episode, I'm excited to have multiple guests on the podcast. You'll hear from several actual Part 2 examiners as they give their advice for studying for the exam. So you don't want to miss next week's episode. That will have a lot of great study tips from ABPMR examiners themselves. So we'll see you all next week. Thank you for listening.